Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, 6'2", 298 pounds, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Standing by. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabers. Arthur cannot give a shout out. It's too cold in the office because the windows are open. Homeboy is in the living room. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, you've heard her before on this podcast. You've heard her before on other podcasts. It's my friend and yours, my birthday buddy, Nang Motherfucker Gang, Christine.
Hello.
Hi. Again, just a blanket apology to all my neighbors that are working from home and healthcare professionals I hear upstairs. And then I'm just screaming obscenities and bullshit nonstop. How are you, Nang?
Oh, I'm so good. It's great. So good.
My life is great. I just got back from Cabo. We just accidentally rat ourselves out to some crazy shit. It's like, I haven't seen you since last weekend when we were all skiing in Switzerland.
Well, how come you were buying all those Solo cups when I ran into you at the supermarket?
I'm having a big birthday bash. You saw outdoor dining's allowed, so I'm going to have 1,000 people on the porch of my two-bedroom apartment.
That's what we got to do. This podcast needs to be celebrating back to normal today. Today. January 25th.
Just a few days after the article came out that cremations have sped up so much that the air quality has gone down, 3 days later, outdoor dining can resume. It feels a little insane to have those two articles popping off that close together.
No, I feel like you'll be like sitting down having a salad out on like a veranda and a gold tooth will fall into it.
Yeah, you gotta like blow dust off the top of your mimosa at brunch before you can have a sip.
What I'm going to do right now is what I do. I have like Zoom therapy, and I always, when it comes up, I always like put a post-it note over my face.
Oh, smart.
Which actually on Zoom, hold on. Actually on
you
Zoom,
you can shut your own picture off.
You can shut your thing off. But on the app that whatever my therapist uses, can't hide self view. There you go. So it's always like, he's like, how are you? I'm like, good. Hold on. Okay, I'm good.
I do the same thing for chilling wise, but I don't do it for when I have. Like if I'm hanging out doing a cocktail hour, I shut my own picture off. But if I'm with Tiffany, she needs it on because she wants to constantly see what she's like. I can see three of my closest friends from around the world and have like a mirror on the screen. I'm made in the shade. That is not me.
No.
Nangle, you did the great reach out of like, this shit is not video, right? I was like, hell fucking nah. I hate that. Someone always, and you can see what my background looks like. Like someone else just like screen grab this and be like, we had Gabrus on our podcast. I'm like, I don't want my fucking marijuana smoke air filter or my dirty laundry. Wow. I'm able to do this. It's on mirror. Sorry. My screen is mirrored. So I'm having a hard time pointing that stuff.
You're good. You got it.
Got it.
You have your dresser. My dad has that dresser. It's the same exact dresser.
Really?
Yeah.
This shit is mad old. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. My dad's 400.
All right. Because this is the birthday episode of High and Mighty. You've been on previously, but now we're just having a little one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You're turning 59 this January 31st.
Yes, I am. We're the only two left alive from the last birthday episode. Yeah. So this isn't by choice.
The rest of them performed at that Chappelle show in Austin.
We only did it because no one asked us.
Yeah, right. I'd be sick as a fucking dog, too, if someone would just invite me to a comedy thing every once in a while.
Oh, my God.
Crazy having a birthday. I mean, some people are going to have two birthdays in the pandemic. I mean, some people had zero, I feel like. Some people this has not landed on at all. But for me, it feels weird. I'm like, I always do like a dumb birthday thing every year that's just like inviting too many 40-year-olds to a location they don't want to go to. Mm-hmm. And I feel bummed that I can't do it this year.
Yeah, I get it. Well, last year, gosh, I guess we recorded before, but last year I had plans to go to Big Sur and like hike and all that. I had reservations, and then my aunt passed away.
Yes.
And I had to go to Philly for that. And that was like my birthday.
The Big Sur of the East Coast, though.
Oh my God. I don't know enough about Big Sur to know, even make a joke because.
Same. I don't know enough about Philly or Big Sur. I'm just using two specifics I heard said 30 seconds apart.
Philly, it would be like, oh, so you go by Big Sur, must be nice. I go by Little Jidhead. So my birthday, like it turned midnight while I was like waiting for my luggage in the Philadelphia airport. But the people at the hotel or motel or whatever it was were nice enough to like say, I explained the circumstances to them and they held on to the deposit. And then and they were like, you have to use it within the year. And I was like, oh God, I'll definitely use it within the year. And then like 3 weeks later, we were in quarantine.
Oh, did they give you like some bonus time? Can you use it for this birthday just to go sit alone and look at different walls for an afternoon?
I mean, I haven't reached out to them since last February. Honestly, I don't think I thought about it until right this second that I had bigger plans than this.
It was crazy at the beginning of quarantine. Me and Tiff had so many like things lined up to do that weirdly, like right as I didn't know at the time, I was about to not get any acting work for 9 months. I also got deposits back on like 3 different hotel bookings. So right at the top of quarantine, when shit started hitting the fan, I was like, this sucks. I'm not going to work. And then I got like $2,000 back. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll be fine. This will carry me through the quarantine. It's like, okay, it's been one full year. I'm going to need another couple of deposits back, baby.
Also, that's such a funny way to like think that you're playing the stock market.
To get your own money back from
is to just put a bunch of just make a bunch of reservations places, and then when you realize you need money, just cancel.
Yeah, it's like purposefully losing $20 in your winter jackets, like you know, just jamming like $1,500 in your Giants starter jacket and then hanging it up for the season. So it's like come next winter, I have a little windfall here.
And yeah, been a weird year, I'd say.
Yeah, this, it's not that I need a jacket or any money because luckily my wife works, but I haven't spent I've really learned in the last 9 months without having any work how little my income has changed, because I guess what I spent all my money on was traveling, eating, drinking, going out to dinner, Lyft, Uber, all that shit. And that's just all gone. And I'm like, oh, when the world opens back up, I have to split the difference here and put some money away. Like when I'm starting to make money again, I got to keep this behavior going a little bit. Because I didn't even think of it. Like not going to restaurants, not renting Airbnb in Palm Springs for the weekend because it's our anniversary or some shit that like we think we should do because we work hard. Not having that for like 9 months, I'm like, oh, fuck. I lost like half my income and I'm like in the same spot because I guess I was spending half my income on drugs, booze, and food. Still spend the money on the drugs, though.
That's why they call you Mr. Break Even. Yeah, they call him Mr. Break Even. I mean, it could be worse.
It was yeah, because my old nickname was Mr. Personality, so it was a nice downshift for me.
Yeah, we luckily haven't stopped working at all for The Simpsons, yeah. And I guess animation is kind of the place to be right now, so that's been good too. So, and we went virtual like a week or so before everyone else did, and we were like making so much fun of the EPs that decided that we were going to go. Like virtual, like we were like, what is Zoom? This is stupid. And we had like a little tutorial. And then like a couple days later, Tom Hanks got it. And we were like, we're vanguards. We knew. Yeah. We were prophets. So give us a call if you have any questions about how to do this.
That I was supposed to go to March Madness in Vegas. And I didn't cancel the trip as all the information was coming in. Cause I was like, well, who knows? Like, we don't really know what it is. And Vegas could still be okay out there. And then March Madness got canceled. We were like, oh, if they canceled 32 college basketball games, maybe we should cancel our trip. It took that though. And that was another deposit back. And then the airplane tickets on all that stuff that all just came back. And I was like, I'm flawed. And now that's been spent on weed delivery in way less than 9 months I spent that.
Job creation, I would call that. It's been on job creation.
Hell yeah. My little quarantine habit, which is I've just become like a townie here in West Hollywood. I like get high, walk to 7-Eleven, buy scratch-off tickets, and walk back as like my exercise. And come home, and me and Tiff scratch off tickets. It's like, oh, I won $30. It's like, all right. And then the next day I go and cash my $30. And like the fucking guy at 7-Eleven is like, hey, sir. And he doesn't know that I live 1.5 miles away from this 7-Eleven.
Oh, you walk that far.
Yeah, I force myself to do that so it becomes like at least exercise and outdoors
time. That's smart.
Time.
So it's 3 miles, yeah.
Yeah, and it's beneficial for myself and for the wife for me to be like out of the house for an hour a day, and, if not more. But
and
we're
for
just
whoever,
not.
Who does the lottery benefit here?
I'm not sure. Hopefully just the wealthy elite.
I know in Pennsylvania, it's older Pennsylvanians. And it's always like benefits older Pennsylvanians. And I don't even know what that means, but it's older Pennsylvanians. Older than who, says me.
Yeah. What does that even mean? Because old people are the ones playing it. So I don't know how beneficial.
It gives them something to do.
Right. It's like my pop-up spent his my pop-up gym would literally buy lotto tickets or go to Atlantic City once a month and buy lotto tickets like several times a week, just blowing his Social Security and his union pension every day. And I was like, this is wrong. But gambling, you know, you got to feel alive, gives you something to do, someone to talk to, an errand, you know?
What my dad's dad we called pop-up, and I haven't met that many people who had a pop-up.
Oh, funny. I had two pop-pops.
Really?
My dad's side and my mom's side. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your pop-up was gay.
I wish.
Wait, what did you call their wives?
Grandma Dee Dee, and then Grandma, we called the other one Grandma, but she passed away and I'm the oldest. She passed away when I was like 4. My mom's mom passed away young. Yeah. Everyone in my family dies young, which is a great thing to feel as you approach your 39th birthday. Like, oh, my dad lived to 54. And you're like, oh, I'm getting very close to that.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So wait, you called your which side?
Yeah, on my dad's side, the Irish side, they pop-up and mom-mom. His wife was mom-mom. Which you could either spell mom-mom or mom-mom, which I spelled mom-mom.
M-U-M?
Yeah.
With a space?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Sometimes like a dash. Ooh. I don't know. But then on my mom's side, it was grandmom and grandpop, which I almost never say grandmom or grandmother or grand. It's always G-R-A-M-M-O-M or G-R-A-M.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So just like a thing that I like grandpop, I call every, even if I knew you didn't call your grandpop, I would ask you about your grandpop.
How's your grandpop doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I say grandma is pretty like Northeastern to say grandma.
Grandma.
G-R-A-M-M-A.
No, we never. And my mom hates Ma or Mama. And she just, I guess, drilled it into us. So Grandma, Grandpa.
We're all fucking, you know, Long Island trash. So we say Ma to my mom way too much. Like, Ma! Ma! Joe! And I call her by her first name a lot because it's like really, we find it to be very funny. Whenever she's just being like, I'm like, Joanne, not like,
I was laughing recently. I do this every couple of years. I just think about like a baby named Joanne.
And it is really funny, like a baby named Diane or Joanne. There's something about Linda. I had two Aunt Dianes.
Congrats.
On one on each side. That's kind
I had two. I have two Aunt Jo. Two Aunt. I have two Aunt Joannes. Whoa. Aunt Joanne.
Joanne and Diane felt like a common name, and Marianne from that generation, yeah, from our parents, like your generation.
Yeah, and I have a cousin. I have a cousin Diane and a cousin Marianne who are sisters.
Ah,
That's cool, guys. This is what you talk about when you have a B-day.
Yeah, this. Well, it is weird because I do miss my family. I haven't seen any. Like, I don't have any West Coast family. They are all in Long Island. So I haven't seen any of them in a full year now, over a year. I guess the last time I was home was like, oh no, early February. My mom came to my power hour at a live show in South Brooklyn.
She did.
Yeah, she came. She had no idea what was going on. She was just like, Jonathan is in a show tonight. We're going to go out to dinner in the city and go to his show. Like, she was just excited to hear. And then, like, she was, like, telling people about it. And she's like, Jonathan, everyone keeps calling me and saying they can't get tickets. I'm like, yeah, Mom, it's sold out. She's like, sold out? And she was like, my mom still doesn't have an understanding of what I'm doing out here at all. You know what I mean? I hear she talks to Tiffany sometimes, or when they're talking on the phone, I hear Tiffany be like, yeah, well, you know, like, he sold that show with his friend. My mom's like, yeah, but what does that mean? I'm like, goodbye.
Does she ever listen to any of your podcasts?
No.
And so when you were doing that show, did you feel like you had to be different knowing your mom was in the audience?
No, because I was doing shows in New York and my mom was from Long Island. So like, she came to a couple of UCB shows over the years.
Sure, sure.
So I feel like I got over it. But also, my dynamic, I was a monster son. You know what I mean? Like, she's not surprised by any, like, my persona. And I mean, most of my friends, I'm like not that much of a comedy persona. I'm just like screaming garbage when I'm hanging out with people too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm up. And I think, so for my mom, it was not that surprising. But like, when my mother-in-law, who I had a different level of behavior around, but still was pretty much myself. But when she started coming to like UCB sketch shows, and me and Justin Tyler have our like dicks out at the end of a lifeguard show because it's 2005 and you think that's what comedy is. Mm-hmm. And your mother-in-law is like, thanks for having me. Like, this was fun. But my mom, I've never had to felt like I had to be different around her. And my mom's also the type of person that she has no shame and an iron ego too. So I literally could like call her up on stage and like humiliate her if I wanted to. And she would like gain power through it. We're very similar in that.
That's amazing. That's great. Yeah. I'm not like that at all.
Are you like either of your parents? I've known this for a decade plus, but now I'm like older and more introspective. I'm like, I've got this like real shit I hated about my mom and dad are just major facets of my own personality.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, ugh, I'm glad I'm not going to have kids. I'll fucking ruin their lives. So I'm glad I'll just ruin my wife's life. One is plenty. Two, including mine.
Yeah. I mean, there's other lives you'll ruin along the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But at least two on purpose. Yeah. Exactly. Toilets I blew up and then someone has to see it after. That person's life is fucking toast.
Because then they're going to take that stress home to their kids.
Yeah, beat the hell out of their son. You wouldn't believe the toilet I saw at work today.
And then that son, when he grows up, he's going to take it out on his kid. So I really think you're going to have an effect on a lot of lives.
The butterfly effect of paint in a public toilet. You know, the shit catches up.
I mean, I feel like as I'm realizing that I feel the things that I hated or got really annoyed about my parents, I feel a lot of empathy for them, and I can understand like reasons they had to make decisions that they did, or like kind of limited resources that they had as young, as like kids and even as like young adults. And then I start to like get really, really sad that they didn't get to do whatever they wanted and have like, you know,
right.
Like, no pain whatsoever.
Yeah. That is kind of like a crazy thing to think about too, is when you're like, oh, I'm 39 now. When my mom was 39, her oldest son was graduating high school.
Right.
And so she had been raising me for 18 years by her 39th birthday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God. Yes. Like she went to college while I was in high school. She lived an insane life. And like now she's 65, unfortunately. And along the same lines, I think about like my parents' life like that, where I know a lot of people have kids young and their lives are great from that. But like my parents were so poor and so dedicated to just like getting these three schmuck sons to college was like all they cared about. Mm-hmm. And then my dad died my dad died literally like a month after my youngest brother graduated college, like,
wow.
Which was kind of a weird dynamic. But the shit that hits me there is that my mom is now getting to live her life as she's like retiring from one of her jobs and she's like traveling more and doing stuff. And it's so exciting. But my dad never even got that opportunity, 'cause like that generation like lived for retirement.
Sure.
And when you can't like do the same shit when you're 65 that you can when you're 30. So it's mm-hmm. a bummer that you mm-hmm. like have to punt your own personal life 40 years down the line.
Brutal. Yeah. Yeah. That sucks, man.
Maybe we should use a different app that isn't so much like our therapy apps. I think I'm Pavlovianly discussing way too personal. Did you have birthday traditions growing up in your house? Was it like, oh, it's Christine's birthday, that means we gotta go get, you know, Pat's, Gino's, the another Philadelphia restaurant I can't think of?
No, I mean, not really. Maybe talked about this in the other two or three birthday episodes that we did, but we had a big family. Like there's four kids, my parents, but then we had like a lot of cousins and stuff. But I just remember ice cream cake was the main thing that would happen every time.
Like ice cream sheet cake, or did you have like a specific spot? Because we had Friendly's on Long Island. That's where we got all our birthday shit from. We loved Friendly's.
Oh, my God. I love Friendly's. Friendly's made me feel... Sometimes my grandmom would take us there, and we felt like we were the princes and princesses. Like, we were the richest people on earth because we got to go to Friendly's.
It felt... Because part of it was, I think, because it had a built-in dessert. We went to restaurants sometimes, but we weren't like, we didn't have the money, and my dad worked nights. So like we went to restaurants sometimes. It was always with my mom, and it was never like, you're never allowed to get dessert. It's like, we have cookies at home if you want or whatever.
Yeah.
But at Friendly's, like the idea that you got dessert was kind of built into the meal.
Yes.
So it was like rolling into Friendly's knowing you were going to get chicken tenders and a cone head. Like you're having the fucking time of your fucking life as like a 12-year-old.
And oh my God.
Just sitting at a table with your mom and her aunt as they fucking smoke a pack of cigarettes and you're 8 years old, drawing, waiting for your fucking cone head or Fribble to get dropped off.
And meanwhile, you're like putting honey on your chicken, which we never did anywhere else.
Right. Loved honey on chicken. I learned it from McDonald's and brought that shit to Friendly's too.
We would get it from Carvel, I think. And there's like, we have a picture of, gosh, I had a Smurfette. I can probably told the story. Like I had a Smurfette ice cream cake a couple years in a row. And like, I've always wanted another Smurfette ice cream cake. I don't think they make them anymore, but it's just a thing that's like stuck in my, you know, brain that I want a Smurfette ice cream cake. But
I was never a dessert guy. I never really liked sweets like as I got older. So we were allowed to ask for my dad, if he was home on your birthday, or we'd pick the birthday dinner night, he would make a request. Like that would be the only time. Cause as my dad would famously say, it's not a fucking diner, Johnny. You eat what's on the menu, but on your birthday, you were allowed to ask for something specific. And I got chicken cordon bleu on my birthday, which in our family meant chicken cutlets with ham and Swiss just melted on top of it or rolled inside of it. And to me, it was like, it's, a ham and cheese sandwich and a chicken cutlet sandwich. Like, I couldn't get over it. And that's what I asked for like my birthday, like 4 years in a row. I would just eat like a tray of chicken cordon bleu and my family would be like, okay.
I remember you telling this story last year. I think hearing you say the words chicken cordon bleu, I've heard that before.
Well, if you've ever been with me, I order it whenever I go out.
Do you really?
I'm a big French guy. I'll have the chicken cordon bleu, please. I always wanted to have, I was a little movie kid, so I always wanted to have movie birthdays, but a January birthday for movies is weak, dude. Some movies I remember seeing for my birthday were Matinee with John Goodman. And King Ralph. I guess two different John Goodman movies.
Oh my God. I think I saw King Ralph for one of my birthdays too.
Hold on. I'm going to look up King Ralph release date.
I really remember going with like a friend or two.
Oh yeah. February 15th, 1991.
That must have been it. We didn't like my neighborhood. My block was so full of kids that like, I don't remember. Like now I feel like people go out of the way to have like big parties for their kids and have an event or like have an activity and invite a bunch of people. I feel like on my block, it's just like open the door and like yell like cake. And then like, there's
like in the suburban kids would just like ride their bikes over and shit.
Oh no, I'm talking about on my block. It's just like, everybody lives within like hearing distance of your voice.
So you would have like your neighbors were friends or it was like a cultural thing in your neighbor. Cause like, if my fucking neighbor rolled up to my house, I'd be like, my neighbors from my childhood home were freaks.
Yeah, no, the block that I grew up on in Philly up until I was 10 was like people say it like, it sounds like it was like a movie from the 50s. It was like, but just row houses. And I guess whenever my parents moved in, it was just a bunch of young families all kind of starting out at the same time. And they just all became friends. And I mean, like, of course, like looking now, they're all like in their 20s. Right. It's like their block was their UCB. and so like, I mean, it wasn't every single house.
How the hell did they afford those row houses if they were all spending their time at UCB?
Trust funds. But they like it wasn't everybody, but like, you know, it's like a good amount of the families. And then most of us went to the Catholic school a couple blocks away. And so we would just all walk there together. And like
You say this makes more and more sense because like our worlds were smaller back in the day. Like now, like your mom might drive you two towns over to go to this school but like our generation was like, you go to the school that's close and free or close and affordable.
Yeah.
And so that makes sense. And then also, you now know, a lot of my friends with kids, they have like their other friends with kids that they kind of do shit with, you know, no one's doing shit this year, but like, oh, so-and-so's kid is around my age. I'm not that tight with the parents, but we hang out every Friday. Yeah. And I think if you're like neighborhood 20 somethings and you all have kids, it's like, look, let's all let them go in our yard and we can all get fucked up and sit around while they play with each other. And then I'll do this in my yard next weekend. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That's cool.
Exactly what it was. And then we moved when I was 10, we moved five blocks away, which felt like we were moving to the West Coast or something. Like it just felt like we were moving so far and we all like cried and cried and cried because we weren't living on that street anymore. But, you know, it was still, that's like a thing that I was thinking about in terms of like raising kids or even just living now, like to be able to walk places, walk to school, not have to get in your car. Like, it's just, I think that's the dream. And even like the neighborhood I live in now, it's like, I don't know anybody like that. I never would run into anyone that I know in this neighborhood. It's just this weird neighborhood that I found because it was kind of close ish to work and it was cheap and because of my dog's issues, I needed a house that didn't have any steps whatsoever, not even to get into it. And I found the perfect, perfect house that I rent. But it's just like, just so walkable. It's a grid. The houses are really close together, but people still have little yards. Kids are running around on the street. It's just like, that to me is like ideal. I would have that rather than like a big yard or like anything like that.
The sense of a neighborhood, the sense of a community. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I feel that a little here in my neighborhood, which is very city-esque and very apartment heavy, but I've now been here for 9 years, 8 years, 9 years in the same place. And for the last year, I've always been home during the day. Like, so I'm like the guy who the mailman knows and like the UPS guys know. But now everyone's home during the day. And there's like a little more of like a weird neighborhoody kind of feeling where like a lot more people got dogs in our neighborhood, which is always exciting. So a lot like that, having a dog brings you like kind of inserts you into your neighborhood, whether you want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to be out and be on your feet walking through the hood 3 to 4 times a day, depending on how much pee pee poo poo Philby needs to make. But like that, all these other people got dogs in the neighborhood in the last like 6-9 months. And it's sort of like brought the neighborhood a little bit more together. There's a lot more like, 6 people in the driveway standing apart from each other with all our dogs like fighting over each other. And it's kind of a really fun, and my dog's issues are all social and anxiety based. So he doesn't like other dogs unless he has like a like childlike introduction to it. Like we have to be like, look, Arthur, it's okay. That's Philby. Look, say hi. No, Arthur, you don't have to prove that you're stronger than him. Like you're just friends. And then eventually it settles down. So we always feel bad that he can't like dog park socialize because he's too much of a prick. But like with these neighbor dogs, like Arthur and the dog don't get along for like a month. But then after a month, it's like, there you go, Artie. You have a new friend, or at least someone that can check their mail without you going apeshit at them.
He's a small dog, though, right?
He's a small guy, which is why it's not that big of a deal that he like is like a bit, because he's very good to people, and he actually isn't even like, if the other dog is subs to him, he's not a problem. But if the dog tries to be like, no, dude, you're an old, lumpy, fucking gray-haired little Boston Terrier, get the fuck away from me, then he can't handle that. He needs like, he's got like Napoleon complex.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be able to handle that either.
That's fair. Like just being dragged into a driveway with 5 people, you're like 5 different. Hey, you guys are all the same species. You're all ladies. Go fucking play, run around, hang out.
Be like, if someone is calling me like a lumpy old terrier, I don't think that's a Napoleon complex to say no, thank you. I feel like, I mean, obviously everybody knows I love my dog, but like I really fucking hate him right now. And
whoa,
like,
you guys are going.
We're going through it.
I got in a fight with Arthur today too. Weirdly enough.
Oh my god! Like, I'm like wit's end.
Like Tiffany came home, she's like, "What's going on?" I was like, "She went out to like go to the flower shop," and I was like, "Me and Arthur are not having it right now." You know? I feel crazy. We spend too much time with them, even more now than ever before.
Yeah, and he feels like the thing about him is that he can't. You can't walk from one place to another without him jumping up and following you and thinking you're going to the kitchen to get a treat. Yeah. And he's like 50 pounds almost. And he does the thing that I think some dogs do where he's trying to lead you where he wants you to go. So he like kind of gets underfoot and it's like trying to lead you into the kitchen. And so then I find myself like a prisoner where I'm just like sitting on the couch and I'm like, okay, I have these 4 things to do, but I'm not going to do them.
I want to pee, get another coffee. Fuck Philby. Oh shit. He hears me.
He will, or if like he hears me make noise. And so now his latest thing, and I'm like, does this mean he's sick? I don't think so. Is if I'm just sitting on the couch, he'll just be sleeping and then I'll get up and then he'll just come over and he'll stare at me. And I've started to have to build like a little pillow fort around where I am. So like he never thinks I'm making eye contact with him. Wow. And that's the only way. Cause if you even accidentally make eye contact with him, he's like, what are we doing? What are we eating?
Interesting. Arthur has this thing too, where he follows you from room to room or follows Tiffany from room to room, whoever's tail he's on that day. And he's really old and not really old. He's 11, but he's going to be 12. He has a hard time jumping on and off things. So like he uses all his energy to get up on the couch in my office. And I'm like, I have to go pee. He's going to follow me because I think he thinks I'm getting him a treat, or at least he's got separation anxiety issues because we're around all the time. So he jumps to follow you and you're like, ooh, and you like hate to see him jump. And so then you start going like, I have to go to the bathroom, but I'm just going to wait because I don't want Arthur to jump. Or like, for example, last night I'm laying on the couch with Arthur. I'm like pointing at it like you're here. I'm laying on the couch with Arthur. Oh, and there you go. There's dirty workout shorts on the arm. Perfect. I was laying on the couch with Arthur there. Tiffany comes in. We're just talking, hanging out. And she's like, you guys are so cute. I'm like, And she goes, fuck, when I go to leave, he's going to follow me out, isn't he? And I'm like, I'll try not to let him go because I don't want him to jump down because he's going to want to come back up. She leaves and he's like, perks up, starts like, and I'm like, dude, you've been laying here with me for a half hour. Just stay. And I'm like holding him. And he's like, and I'm like, what is the matter? I'm dad too. Like, and he's like, no, there's a higher potential of a treat from her. And so he's just like, fights his way, jumps down, limps after her. Like, you know, like he has like a little limp whenever he does like a big leap. Now he like limps after her for a while. I'm like, Arthur, calm the fuck down, dude. And then you start getting stressed, and then he adds so much anxiety to me that I'm like doing things to not, I'm already doing things to not trigger anyone else's anxiety in the house. Now I'm adding like, also don't upset the dog. I'm like on eggshells.
It's eggshells. And it's really like a prisoner of your own house in a way that is really, really annoying. And I don't know how to describe this, but you know, this is the thing that I've always, always hated my entire life, which is like, when someone that you're with or is in a class something, and they look at you instead of like the person that's talking, or like if the person that's talking says a thing that resonates with them or something you guys have just been talking about, and they'll look at you like rather than like just listening to the person talk, and like they want acknowledgement or something, or I know that it is, I'm not describing it well, but it makes me crazy. And I've always I just ignore the person who's like looking at me trying to get my attention. Cause I'm like, we're both supposed to be looking at the front right now. I get that we talked about this earlier, or we have an inside joke about this or whatever, whatever. And
but you understand how that like could come across as rude to the teacher or the showrunner or whoever's
exactly,
talking.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like, it's kind of a thing, but it's also like,
it's also kind of instinctual, right? It's sort of like classical conditioning. Someone's like, blah, 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 Philadelphia. And I'd be hard pressed if I'm sitting near you, like not to be like, dang, Philly, like, you know, like, and you're like, that's who cares, dude, leave me alone. It's going.
It's even like different than that where, I guess I need to think of a better way to describe it, but he does that for me with like, when we're on walks, like 2 years ago or something, I had to like really learn how to get him to walk without pulling because of his issues. And it involved whenever he was not pulling and he was walking just normally, giving him a treat. Mm-hmm. Like, and it kind of became really good. Like we would hit our stride and he would just keep walking and you give him good every, like, you know, 10 more yards, good. And then we just got so lazy. And now you're just walking, he'll stop and look at you. Walking, stop and look at you, or he'll just look at you the entire walk and not look where he's going, and it just triggers all of that like feeling
waiting
of, like,
for the treat.
Like, looking, someone's looking at me, and I'm looking forward, and I'm like, I'm not going to look at you, man. I'm not going to look at you. Just look forward.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't what we're supposed to be doing right now. We're supposed to just be walking, dude. Just turn around and walk, man. Yeah.
And I say no, and then of course he doesn't know what I'm saying no to, and then I get home and I'm like, I'm just so mad at him. And I'm just like, I'm feeling it right now as I'm talking. I'm just like, I will lock him out of rooms because I'm just like, don't come talk to me right now.
Oh, I understand. I understand how beneficial it is to have a partner with the dog, because it is like, I just don't want to deal with him right now. And it's like, I don't have to always. I mean, although yeah. Due to extenuating circumstances in that my wife has a full-time job and I can reschedule my hour-long birthday chat with my friend Christine in case of an emergency, my big crazy-ass schedule. So I'm kind of like mostly doing the dog stuff, so I feel it. But I can still be like, Tiff, I have to go get a COVID test at 7 in the morning. Can you walk the dog? Mm-hmm. And sometimes like you like get up and you're like, I'm just going to go pee. He's in bed in between me and Tiffany, and I'm like, just stay in this fucking bed. I just look at him. I'm like, just stay here. I'm going to pee. I want to come back and I need another little bit of sleep, bro. Don't you? And then you're peeing and then you hear, like the little nails walking on the hardwood floor. And you're like, you motherfucker. And you come out of the bathroom and he's just sitting there like looking at you like half nervous, like, I could go to the bathroom and go back to sleep, but I just need engagement. And you're like, all right, man, let's go.
I think it's probably exactly like raising a child. It sounds like it's the exact same.
Yeah. Except if we were talking on the phone, you're like, yeah, I locked my son, Phil, in the other room. I just had to. I built a pillow fort so he wouldn't look at me. Talking about your son.
I don't want him to look at me.
Honey, can you fucking clean the kids' shit up for once? Like, arguing like it's a...
The bags are over there. I mean, I was thinking about how, like, people... I guess I see this on Twitter sometimes where people get mad that people with dogs say it's like having kids. And it's just like, makes me so mad, because I don't think anyone who has a dog who's likened it having kids has ever really meant that.
No,
like it's
no.
Just kind of like you're a little bit trying to relate to what you're talking about.
If you're going from not having a dog to having a dog, that is a huge, like, as an like a single adult, a grown up, just having your own dog, that is a huge leap in responsibility. But it is not as far of a leap as a child. Everyone who has a dog knows that. And if they don't, they're purposefully being obtuse.
Yes. Oh my God. I saw this. Oh, what was it? It was on Twitter, and somebody made a, there was some video that it was just something silly, and somebody made a reference to, oh, why don't they just buy another one or something? And some lady responded like, all y'all who live at home with your parents or don't have kids are telling on yourselves. And like the living with your parents thing aside, I was like, what do you mean if you don't have kids, you're telling on yourself? Like, should it be a thing I'm ashamed of, or like secret? Or it's not like a trust fund. It's just, I just don't have to have kid. Like, I don't have kid. I don't know what, like, I just like ruminated on it for like a fucking week. Like, what the hell? Like if you don't have kids and they do, and then they get angry that you don't have to deal with the things that they have to deal with.
Sure a real thing. And it's jealousy that I think they, at least in some cases, it feels like jealousy that is misplaced, and that they will then wield like, well, yeah, I guess that's what, you know, like my little brother, my younger brother, I call him a little brother. He has a father of two and owns a home, and I don't even have a dishwasher. He's like,
but he is 4 feet tall.
Yeah. He's very little. my brother is, wait, what were we just talking about before? 4 feet. Now I'm picturing my brother. And he's got full sleeve tattoos. So in my head, it was really funny seeing like a little dude.
Getting jealous.
Shit will come up like, well, I have to get up at 5 a.m, you know, because like, you know, Junior is out of bed at this time. Sleep in. It's like, hey. You know what goes into having a kid before you have a kid these days. Like, you didn't have a kid by accident at 17. You were 30 when you had your son. Like, shit, you know what's happening. I know what's happening. I like sleeping. I didn't have a kid. They try to make you like, and because I think the norm was for so long is that you just eventually have kids, that they did that step and they're like, I feel like frequently from people in my life, they look at me like, I didn't know you could just really chase your career dreams until you're 40. You know what I mean? Or I didn't know you didn't have to have kids or wait till you're 35 to get married or all these other dumb things I did. And I feel like, how much pressure is there when I was unmarried from my married friends to get married? And then when my married friends had kids and me and Tiff didn't, there's so much pressure like, oh, you guys gotta join the fucking awful club where, you know, not awful, but like, it's so, we're doing this, I can't sleep, I'm exhausted, but you gotta do it so that I'm not alone here and that I don't have someone to compare how much like our lives. Like, I think that's what bothers them, is that it's like, just have a kid. I thought we were all fucking having kids. I go and have a kid, and then you get decide not to, and now you get to go to fucking Barcelona for Christmas. Come on, what the fuck, you know?
Right.
And there's some element there, and I'm aware I'm also like maybe projecting to make our decision seem better and more positive too.
It's a decision, it's, you know. There's also an element, I think, of when people are like, well, you know, you don't have kids, you don't understand. A lot of people want kids and don't have them for reasons that aren't good. Or like, you know, there's a lot of people who are trying to have kids and can't, or whatever. I mean, reasons that are too sad to even bring up. And I think
I'm so happy you said that. It's like, there are so many reasons that people don't have kids. And like last on the list is like, because I want to get fucked up all the time. It's like, there's like sad, dark, systematic, generational, genetic, all these reasons as to not wanting for people to not have kids. And people, yeah. And they'll still think it's like, well, it's time to grow up. And it's like, right. No, you don't understand.
Well, also, I have this theory that like people who knew each other when you were both like single or didn't have kids, and then they got married and had kids. When they see you, they still see you as them before they made these life choices or had these big lifestyle changes. So like, at least in my experience, like some of my friends, like when they're trying to give me advice or whatever, like they're giving advice to themselves at like 28, when they were kind of like, you know, unmarried or without kids like me, without realizing that I also have lived a life and had experiences while they were, they just weren't those ones that they had.
Yeah. They weren't childbirth and planning first birthday parties and weddings.
Yeah.
But in the last 12 years of our lives, you'd be surprised to hear I lived.
I lived, I laughed, I loved.
You look at my throw pillow. It says, I lived, Veni, Vidi, Vici, I lived, I laughed, I loved. It's got all
And
of
it's
them.
That throw pillow right next to my two Peabodys. Yeah, yeah. So I was doing something for the past however many years.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about my throw pillow next to my 250 podcast episodes? It doesn't hit as hard as Peabody's, but you know,
but
take
polished.
What you got. If you got it, flaunt it. It's not a safe time to be going into stores. It's a time when you need comfort. And for me, those two things send me into online shopping. I love shopping online. I'm assuming you guys do. I'm assuming everyone does. You know, when you're checking out and it says promo code and you're like, damn, dude, I wish I had a promo code right about now. That is annoying. I'm with you. But thanks to Honey, you don't have to search for coupon codes yourself anymore. Honey is a free browser extension that'll search the internet for promo codes and apply the best one it finds to your cart. 30,000 stores plus. I know this sounds crazy. I'm sitting here ready to just try to, you know, do this ad, but it works. They have 30,000 stores online that are affected by Honey. I've gotten a 10% off once and a 20% off once so far, and I've only done like a handful of shopping. So, it's simple. You just add it to one of your browsers, and the Honey button drops down, and all you do is click on Apply Coupons when you're checking out. And if Honey has any, they'll match. You know, you can just watch the prices go down. It's like, so I got $10 off like gadgets. You know what I mean? I bought some dumb stuff like tripods and stuff for, you know, working from home, and I was able to get a little discount. I think I saved like $5, but still, it's $5 that I wasn't gonna have, and now I have it. So I saved $5 on what was it, tripod, controller, and a game or something like that, or maybe it was $10 because it was $5 off the game. Yeah, I saved like $10. It was awesome. I highly recommend you do it. 17 million members, $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and it installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/mighty. That's joinhoney.com/mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y. Thank you. Support for High and Mighty is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Well, big news, Manscaped just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times. Who knew smelling this good could feel this good, too? Yo, you already know I love Manscaped. You know I cut my hair on my head with it because I'm not going to a barber right now. I trim my pubes with it. I dust down the armpits. It's the easiest way to trim my ball hair ever. So if these guys are also coming out with a signature scent, I'm gonna trust them. This cologne is Light, approachable, and gentlemanly in all the right ways. It's a 50 milliliter spray cologne, hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. No beef or cheese in this cologne. So it's got a cute glass bottle. I highly recommend you get the Manscaped Refined Cologne to complete your set and smell great anytime, anywhere. It's time to not only smell sexy, but feel sexy. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MIGHTY at manscaped.com. Your balls and body and roommates will thank you. 20% off and free shipping. Not shaping. You'll have to pay for the buzzer, but once you get it, all the shaping you can do. Get 20% off, free shipping, promo code MIGHTY, M-I-G-H-T-Y, at manscaped.com. M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com.
Wait, 250 High and Mighties?
At least, yeah. This shit's been like over 5 years now, I think.
Nice.
It's crazy. Wow. And I should say, like, in this moment, like, maybe around birthday time is a good time to think about stuff you're grateful for. And I will say, in quarantine, I'm very grateful for podcasts in that I have a small income still coming in, so I feel alive and I feel like I'm helping out around the house. And weekly, I just talk to someone, like, for an hour. Even if, like, just, and it's been great in this quarantine, catch up with old friends. And now it's all Zoom. So now it's like, oh, I have a New York guy, an Aussie guy on the pod, or person. And I'm so grateful to be able to, like, talk to you for an hour today. Like, it feels, and it, I didn't realize how much energy I got off other people. I knew I was a fucking performer, extrovert, whatever. But, like, I'm battling shit without live shows and being constantly reaffirmed that I'm funny by strangers or that people like me. Without it, I'm feeling, oh, I'm like, oh, fuck. But then getting to have, like, a funny friend on for an hour and just talk about shit, I'm like, oh, I feel okay. I feel all right. Because you can only talk, I mean, you go, like, having a job, like, eventually you get tired of your coworkers. It's like, me and my wife, it's like, I can't keep talking to her about, like, comedy shit and stuff like that. Like, she just has other things to do, and just like vice versa with it, where I'm like, babe, this is like, I can't have this story in my head right now. Just talk to somebody else about this. Like, you know, at those moments. So it feels so good to, like, it's like forced friendship. None of my friends would, like, get on a Zoom for an hour to catch. Most of my friends wouldn't get on a Zoom for an hour to catch up. I wouldn't want to do that. But if it's for a podcast, for whatever reason, people are into it. So,
yeah.
And most of my friends have shit that they want to plug anyway. So that says more about how fucking my friends than anything else.
I mean, it is a thing where, like, even before the pandemic, where you would, for whatever reason, just end up talking to a friend on the phone. And after I get off the phone, I'm like, that felt so good. Why don't I do that more often? Like, I never get to talk to that person. And then, of course, they'll never do it again.
I've had the thing, I'm trying to come up with a name for what you're talking about. Cause there's something, there's like a, what's that expression? What's the German word for blah, blah, blah? Cause they have like a word for everything. But like the expression you're saying is like, when you do an activity that you rarely ever do, when you do it and you go, oh, fuck this, I feel good doing this. This is so easy. This should be implemented into my life more frequently. And then you can't, for some reason, repeat that.
Yeah.
Like, and from a mental health standpoint, I feel the same way as you. I'm like, oh, it was so nice to FaceTime with my brothers and have a beer. I miss these guys. We're just talking. I got to see the nephews. But if you don't like, if we don't make that effort, like, it just won't happen. And like, we were talking about a mutual friend, and actually he's a guy who would love to hear that his name was being dropped on other podcasts. We were talking about Atamanik, and he's a phone caller, and Gemberling is a phone guy, and having these friends that call you on the phone, you're like, oh, I miss, as someone who doesn't have a job, like, my acquaintances were the guys and people, gals, everybody that I was talking to in between shows at UCB or in the waiting room at an audition or while we were both at so-and-so's birthday drinks at some arbitrary Atwater bar. And having all that shit eliminated, I'm like, oh, fuck. Now I have to make the conscious effort to, like, maintain, not maintain friendships, but, like, keep that thing going that I liked about knowing these people. And it's like, I took so much of that shit for granted.
Yeah, definitely. And you got it, like, people, friendships, like, it's weird. And even in the pandemic, how it's like in the beginning of the pandemic, I talked to these people a bunch and then we stopped talking. And then I, out of nowhere, I started talking to these people in the summer. And then now we're in like season four of the pandemic and like, yeah. So not talking to anybody.
I'm like, yeah, it is weird. I was like, yeah, oh, there was like 3 months I was texting with this guy. Oh, there was like 2 months where me and her were talking about maybe doing some writing together. And then there was like, and now it's like, the guys I host podcasts with don't even want to talk to me. Like, I'm like, send a text to Rogers and Stanger, like, hey guys, we're doing a record later or whatever. It's like, no response. It's like, well, 7 p.m. Oh, you're here in the Zoom to do our job. Okay. Well, good to see everyone.
Yeah. It's like everybody just needs so much leeway right now that I'm, and I hope that people are giving to me also, where I'm just like,
I'm giving everyone as much leeway as they need because I'm hoping that they're in return going, I notice Gabrus is giving leeway. I should throw a little leeway his way.
I make it aware that I'm giving leeway. I text them, I email them.
I'm giving you some fucking leeway, all right? It's no big deal. Get back whenever. But just know that I'm out here hoping to get a little leeway when I don't respond to your shit. Yeah, I have like a weird block to like communication responses right now. Like it feels weird. It feels like because the future is uncertain, I feel weird like answering questions or nailing down anything. Like it's always just like, well, who knows? Someone's like, hey, next February 11th, you want to do this podcast thing or this live stream or whatever? And I'm like, I'm not answering this. Anything could fucking happen in the next 4 days. And I'm like, and then it's like, next thing they're following up and it's like, hey, it's been 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I really want to do it. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And I'm like working myself up into these hypotheticals. And it was previously just about pandemic or world opening. But now I'm like, what if something crazy happens at the Capitol? I want to like, I don't want to be like stuck doing a live stream when I could be like hunkered down and watching CNN. Like my brain is like fucking broke. I'm like, and I guess people talk about it who are more informed and more intelligent than me, but are like, yeah, well, we're going through like a nonstop traumatic situation.
Yeah, like, there's definitely reasons. There's got to be, or we're all crazy.
Yeah, if like hearing a number of people that have died, a number of people from the same country as you that have died, and the number, you hear the number every day, and the number is bigger and bigger every day, there is, even if you are not fully registering that, that fucking number climbing from 100,000 to 400,000 is fucking, you're carrying that shit on your back, in your fucking cerebellum.
Yes. it's really like, and we like, I've been lucky enough to have been working nonstop. Actually like we have a couple weeks off this in January, but like a lot of the things have happened while we were on Zoom or like having to work.
Had stuff to do, yeah.
And that was like, you know, when like RBG died, it was just like everyone is just like staring into space or like looking at their phone or screaming or crying. And then like it just kind of a weird thing where people are already trying so hard to put their attention into Zoom and working that way. And then so like all this other additional stuff. And like, and also I mean, people have kids at home with them and like a bunch of other stuff. It's right. I saw a headline, did not read the story, but someone said, or maybe it was just a tweet, said like, our kids aren't falling behind in school. They're surviving a pandemic. And it just that I can't stop thinking about that because it's
holy shit. That energy needs to extrapolate out for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
But kids, kids especially, obviously. But that's so fucking, that's such a just rewiring of how you like just a repositioning your POV on something like that. And you saying that is fuck it. That's a headline tweet, wherever the fuck it was. It's like stuck. It's going to be stuck in my craw.
I'll try to find it. Cause it's really helped me so much in terms of just being gentle with myself. And then, you know, a bunch of other shit has been happening on top of like, and you know, everyone's having stuff in their personal life. So just like to just lay in bed for half the day. If that's like all I got, that's all I got.
I know I like without having a work Zoom thing to do, I like shut down from January 6th through like 11th. Like I was just like eventually, and my friend Billy Scafuri, friend of the pod, former guest, he said something. It was like, stop saying productivity. Like, don't worry about, I'm like, my productivity is down. He's like, dude, to get relieve yourself of that. <It's>
like, you know what I've been doing? And I, this is so weird. So I don't, and I say this on any podcast I'm on, I don't really listen to podcasts. I realize one thing, one, I do stuff in silence more than anything, like not even with the TV on, or like if I'm driving places, I'll forget, like, oh yeah, podcast is an option or music is an option. I'll just be like driving in silence and not thinking twice about it. But I started listening to productivity podcasts when I'm doing stuff, and I'm not, and they're like giving you tips on your to-do list and your calendar and stuff like that. And I'm not like sitting there taking notes. It's just like when I'm trying to be productive, it like helps me to listen to these guys who are probably insufferable in real life, but talk about like, yeah. So like I started waking up at 5 a.m. and I just dominate my day. And
day domination begins at 5. Time to get up and get after it, boys. Grind. That grind and hustle culture shit is so crazy.
But I, and it's like, if I was at a party with them, I'm sure I'd like leave that circle, but I like listen to these podcasts.
And then wonder how the hell you ended up at a party, no less a party that those guys were at.
I did start working out, which I hadn't been doing. Like I did last year, you asked like if you could go into your house and have something, a present waiting for you that is like a thing that you would want. Do you remember what I said?
No, I don't.
I said a husband on a Peloton.
How's that going so far?
At the Peloton.
Hell yeah, that's the hard part.
And I never thought it needed to be my husband.
I just needed a guy to put the fucking thing together.
Yeah, the guy that was leveling it out and everything. I was like, married? Good, all right.
Good. So you are a husband. Great. You don't have to be mine.
Could you sit on that thing real quick? And then I saw, like, I got like a virtual trainer because I was like, I have so many like mental blocks around exercise, I realized, especially when it comes to like squats and lower body stuff, because I've had so many injuries. So this woman eased me into this like so slowly, even though I could do more than she was giving me. And now I'm like, I love it. It's like, put me on your workout podcast. I mean, I look the same. That's not true. I don't look the same. I lost like 20 pounds.
Hell yeah, dude.
But it's like been a really good thing for me mentally. To do that and just feel stronger.
I was working out in the beginning of the pandemic, doing very well. Rolled into, I'm like, oh fuck, gyms are closed. Well, I'll keep going here in the pandemic. And then that stopped for like 2-3 months. And now I'm back after it again. And just like whatever that German word we were looking for like, oh, I should call my friends more often. I'm like, oh, even just walking 2 or 3 miles a day, which is so easy to do and so passive, that I do feel better on a day when I do walk for 2 miles than a day I don't. And a day when I walk for a couple of miles and lift some dumbbells or jump some rope or go for a jog or I feel even better. I'm like, oh yeah, this is something I had. Like, it's the first thing to go when I feel like I'm falling apart mentally or whatever. I'm like, I have no time to work out. I have to focus on my own misery and Twitter and my deadline. Yes. And I let go working out. And then when I bring it back, I'm like, this should never go away. This should be the thing I always do. Like, I am not that productive. I don't need like the extra hour of writing. I'm not going to do it. Just exercise for that hour and your life will be better in perpetuity.
Or
and
20 minutes. Like,
yeah, 20 minutes. Exactly.
It's a thing where like, if I have a headache, I will just like go about my day just being like, I have a headache, or like if, you know, my back hurts or something. And it will be so long before I remember that I can take that medicine is an option. Like, I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. Ibuprofen is supposed to help these things. And then that'll happen again and again and again. And it's the same where I just like forget. And like, I say that now where I'm like, oh, I'm working out. But also like I was saying about like the seasons of the pandemic, in a week, I might like stop working out completely for a month. And that just like needs to be okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
One thing I've been paying attention to is like how long things take to do. Like if you're like putting off doing the dishes or whatever, like next time you do the dishes, see how long it takes. It probably takes 4 minutes.
Right.
And then like, I think about that, like next time I'm like, I need the dishes. I'm like, all right, yes, this will take me 4 minutes of my day. Like, you know, I think I'm probably picking these things up from these productivity guys.
Oh, I wonder. Yeah, it's like you're like passively learning, like through osmosis, it's just playing.
Knowingly.
You saying that makes me, because like you'll have I have to do the dishes on your mind and eating up way more of your brain RAM than 4 minutes of doing it really is. And it would, like, I have that. Like, I have these things where I'm like, oh, I have to do this. I have some deadlines on things that are like, write this person back and say, like, this is the paragraph that you asked for. And like, if I just did it, it would take me 10 minutes. But I've been thinking about it nonstop for 2 weeks and how, fuck, I have to do that. And instead of just doing it, I'm mired in the idea that it's got to get done. And if I just rip the fucking Band-Aid off, my brain is open for other shit. Absolutely. And I still can't get that. I don't know what that nudge is that can't get me to fucking do it.
Totally. I think it's anxiety and probably ADD or something. Like, it's just getting started. I have such a problem with like time management and all that shit. Yeah. So I get it. And it gets, there's people who would be like, just do it. And like, if you don't understand why I can't just do it, I can't explain it to you.
Right.
I just can't explain it.
To be fair, I don't understand why I can't just do it. And you just saying just do it doesn't get me to just do it. So
exactly.
Chill the fuck out, Nike. Let's figure this shit out.
So what do you want for your birthday then?
That's a good question. This year, I would, if to answer the fake question, the question I may have asked last year, if I could come into my house and have something waiting for me, it would be an extra room that had a Peloton in it, husband optional. I just don't have room. I'll take the, if the only way I can have the Peloton is that I have to also marry a man separately, I might do it. I want the convenience of exercising at home, but I just don't have the space. And I also want to move, but that also feels crazy to do right now, to change the rent or change how much our rent is or buy a house or any of that shit. Again, it's like, if I'm not sure about agreeing to do a live stream thing because my ADD, my anxiety won't let me be like, who knows what happened in the world. I don't want to fucking start going house hunting. I don't want to like move apartments. Like, that feels so scary, but I do want slightly more space. Maybe having outdoor space in this time feels like it would be amazing.
It's what I realize is like, I have like a two bedroom, and the second bedroom was like a guest bedroom, obviously, that never, cause I moved in here in December and it never got used. It got used once. And my sister
visited.
I haven't
had guests since February. Yeah,
exactly. So then it had to become my home office and workout area. And I had this big pullout couch, and I finally was like, I never use that couch. I'm not going to have guests that need this for a very, 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 very long time. Just gave it to like my old dog walker. I was like, you need this? Like, she just moved a new house, and it made it like, so even if you like, so what I'm saying is, there's things that, because lifestyles have changed, there's like things that fit your old lifestyle that don't fit your new lifestyle. So just, I don't know why it took me so long to just be like, just get rid of this couch, this pull out couch.
Dude, it's crazy you said that, because I literally said to my wife the other day, I'm like, well, what if I just got rid of the coffee table I have here in my office and I just put a Peloton there? And she's like, in the middle of like the floor of your office? I'm like, no one comes here.
Exactly. Exactly. Seriously, like, think about it. Think about things that way. Like, rethink like how you're using your house and like what you need to feel good. Cause you might find like, oh, I don't even need this. There's two couches in this room. I don't even need the second one. Like,
yeah, no one's coming over.
No one's coming over. No one needs to, it doesn't need to look good for anybody. And if I need to take all the pictures off the wall and put like a calendar on the wall and mark off like workout days, like, no, at least for me, I don't even have like, no one is coming in.
Right, right.
It's just like, I've just had like reframed everything. So I'm just like, what is going to make me feel, cause I deal a lot with like depression and anxiety. I'm just like, what are the things that are going to like get me?
Yeah.
To
what's my toolkit I need here for some success and some happiness and some ease of life. And if it is this thing that seems unusual and like, it's like, oh, that would be weird. It's like, The exterior world exists from what they can see from my Zoom window, more or less. It's like, that's, I have no guests coming over. It's like, might as well do something like that.
Like, yeah. If you're interested in getting a Peloton, just order one. You could always cancel it, you know, if it's, and there's payment plans and stuff like that. Or I've gotten rid of so many clothes, like so much stuff that I'm just like, man, I didn't need any of this stuff.
I've gotten rid of a bunch of stuff. My wife's doing the opposite. She's like looking around the apartment and being like, I've always wanted to get one little frame for that location. And she's like, and now that I'm here all the time, someone, she worked full time for the whole time we lived here. She's like, now that I'm here all the time, I can't not see it. And right. So it's sort of it's the same thing for her. I just don't have the same things that make me happy and eliminate my anxiety and soothe for her, it is like all aesthetics of like, and the rest outside of this office, this place feels like a fucking boutique hotel, feels at home. It feels peaceful. I love it. But like for her, she's doing the same thing, but it is net. And I'm like you, I'm like, I guess I'll keep this one suit in case I have an audition. And I like threw out, I'm like, I'm not dressing up. I don't even need jeans right now. So I definitely don't need suits. So I just like cleaned out my closet and I was like, get rid of all this shit. I'm like ready to get rid of a ton of stuff.
I was getting rid of stuff in my closet like the other day, and my mom was like, what are you up to? And I told her, and she goes, again?
outside point of view will really call you out.
What sometime. I think I got these off Amazon. They're almost like hospital dividers. They're you can't really see them, but they're just like this cloth and like,
oh yeah.
And so I like when I'm working, I need to I need to feel like cocooned in or like confined or just.
Is that because
contained?
Because of distraction or because that it feels comfort?
It feels comfortable for me. Like when I was in grade school and high school, especially if I had like a project that, or like I had to study for an exam, I would sit under a table or I would like build like a fort or something. Sometimes.
This is pretty Philby. This was just, you weren't protecting yourself.
I wasn't trying to avoid eye contact with a Pitmix.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of the mental health shit too, is like, as you go and you're like, yeah, I know. I'm like, you know, Tiff suffers from anxiety. I mean, we all do, but like, you know, she's like, when you get some help, when you get some medical help, she's like, oh, shit. Now I have like clarity on what I can like look at myself, like perspective and all this shit. She's like, I can't believe I was trying to go without, you know, this for as long, Lexapro, whatever, you know, whatever people are on.
Yeah. And even like I was saying about working out with like squats and stuff, it was me just being able to identify, like, I have so much anxiety around this and I need to at least acknowledge that this anxiety, and that's what it is. And like, let's call it that. And then like move on to like getting past it and like learning how to do these things properly. And cause I think it's like when you come, I would come up with a million reasons to not do things.
Right.
And then finally,
which is easier to do.
And then, but then if you take a step back, you can say like, you know what? All of that was anxiety and fear. And like, for me, it was like with squats, I talked about the squats. It was like, I have a bunch of injuries and I had like so many physical therapists or doctors, whatever, put the fear of God in me with
about
certain
hurting
things.
Your knees or back or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was like, if I don't do it perfect, I'm not doing it at all. And like, that's why I had to have a person, I had to pay a person to ease me into like this thing that really isn't that complicated of a move.
And being able to do squats as exercise or just the capability of it is life improving.
Right.
Like it is something like that will help you in the long run. It'll strengthen your legs, mobilization, help you walk later in life, being able to do all that, carry yourself around and all that shit. And now that you're able to like, and then it's like that thing. You're like, why? I can't believe I had this block for this long. What if I would have did this a year? Like, and then that's a whole new version of anxiety where you're like,
totally.
Well, I started too late. You know, like you know, like, oh, why I should have moved to I should move to LA 4 years earlier. I should have started really focusing on exercise a year or like all this shit. It's like, no, you got to just make what the decisions you can make are.
Yeah. Dude. You say it's life improving. I think ass is life and it's ass improving.
Yeah. Fuck.
So
dude.
You guys can't see what I'm working with, but a couple months of squats has made very little difference, but I feel stronger. I can pick up my dog.
I will tell you this, look, feel and perform. Don't worry about scale. Do you look better? Or do you look like looking at yourself better? Do you feel better? And do you perform better? And if you used to do zero squats and now do one, you've rapidly improved. And I'm assuming you're doing more than one a day at this point. Yeah.
Yes.
And if you went from zero to how whatever that number X is, X being the number of squats, that's a wild life improvement. Like being able to do that. And that's and I'm not saying this to gas you up. You know, like you made a good decision, but I'm saying it for listeners to be like, you had this block to something that could improve your life. Like, and we're using, obviously we're being a little hyperbolic in that we're talking about squats.
This and ableist, I suppose.
That goes without saying, I'm always an ableist. everyone has their version of squats or going for a walk or this thing that you're like, I know this would be good for me, but, and then when you're like, why won't I do it? And when you analyze what all that chatter is, it's all just like, it's all different voices coming from the same actor. And that actor is anxiety, fucking Michael Winslow doing tons of bleeps, the sweeps and the creeps, just hitting you with all different types of like, oh, it's because you're not good. You're actually too fat to do half marathons. Yeah. Oh, you know, you're you're not a good actor. Like that's not what people, you're not going to do that. It's like, wait, no, that's all just anxiety. It's all Michael Winslow saying the same fucking, same guy saying all the different stuff. Nip that in the bud. Or, in another way, and this is what is a little more pertinent to me, but I'm going to use your example going forward. It's like, now that squats was, you had that, I'm going to say squat block. You had a squat block and you powered through it. And now when something else presents itself, like it, you know, replace squats with whatever it might be. And now you're doing those dishes or listening to music while driving, whatever these new, and like, you're like, if I could do that, I could do this. And that, like, that's that, if I can get myself when my body and my brain is telling me 1,000 times that you don't need to exercise today, you need to be worried about other stuff. Then you go and do that exercise and you look back at yourself. You're like, I dominated that. It's like, that's a little victory for yourself. And and you can take that with you going forward. It's like, I beat that. What's next? And the opposite is true where, you know, all I have to do is write this person back a paragraph. That piles up. What happens while that's piling up is something else comes up. And now you have two things. And now trying to even tackle one of them is like, I can't do squats and blank, you know? And now you're like, oh, now I'm overwhelmed. Now I get to use overwhelmed because there's two things. One thing, which I could just check off and be off my mind if I just focus.
Right.
It's such a weird disease, anxiety. Such an interesting thing to get, anxiety. It took a doctor telling me, first of all, I didn't start going to a doctor until I was like 34. Like, so that was like one thing. And it took a doctor going like, I'm like, I'm not really an anxious guy. And he was like, you know, like anxiety doesn't present itself exclusively by like someone who's like nervous in social situations. And I was like, huh? Like, I guess I was thinking of anxiety like exclusively as like Woody Allen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not like that. That's like Gil. Yeah. You know, that's not me.
That's
and
what then, Jewish people do.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not Jewish.
And then he's like, no, it could just be like you're constantly worried or you're like self-defeating attitude and like all these other things. And I'm like, oh, I have anxiety. He's like, yeah, a lot of people do. And he's like, maybe it's because anxiety. I'm like, bro, I'm not anxious. He's like, well, let me explain anxiety to you, you fucking oaf. And I was like, oh, I do have that.
We call it anxiety where I live.
That's what I have then too. I want that one.
I mean, it's like
it's a mutation. It's mutated. We can't stop it. The novel anxiety virus. I have it.
Oh my god! Yeah. Well, I have anger issues. All that stuff.
Anger management is awesome. That's the job I want. I work in anger management. Wait, are you repped by like 3 Arts or whatever? You should make them refer to themselves as Nanger Man or whoever your manager is.
I can't believe I've never thought about that. Oh my God. No, I don't have a manager. I've never wanted a manager and I've gotten this far without it.
Excellent work. And congrats on having 10% more of your paychecks in perpetuity. That feels nice.
And I got my current job when we had to fire agents. So I get to keep all this money. Oh, that's not true. Whoever helped me with my contract. But anyway,
still living the fucking dream, Nang. Speaking of living the dream, Nang, I just gotta say, you got anything you want to plug here? Thank you again for talking to me and happy birthday.
And happy birthday to you too.
I'll be putting out the major tweet on January 31st, as usual, locked up with Bobby, Portia de Rossi, Jackie Robinson, Phil Collins, the whole Kerry Washington, the whole gang. But do you have anything you want to plug or where my listeners can find you? I mean, I'm sure they already follow you and all that shit, but.
No, they can just find me on Twitter at Nanglish, although I'm trying really hard to. I was thinking, like, after my birthday, like, having really strict rules about Twitter, like 2 hours a week or something.
I'm trying to figure that out too. Instagram and Twitter. I'm trying to figure out rules for myself.
Because I think partially it's like we have all this extra time, but if, like you were saying at the beginning of the conversation, like there's also something you're missing by not performing and not like having that social feedback and like positive feedback and like I'm more other places. And I think that that's like another reason that I'm going to Twitter so much. But anyway,
I think I'm going there too for validation, for inclusiveness, for like feeling like this is where everyone's bullshitting, right? Hey, yeah. I just had fucking diarrhea again. Oh, 40 likes, sick. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a green room energy. It's like, hey, what are you doing in here, Fernie? Oh, tweeting about Bird. Great. You know?
yeah, that's pretty much it. I always tell people, oh my God, my dog is barking up in here.
Quiet,
check
he's looking
out.
At me.
And the door is closed and he's in his crate with a blanket over it in another room.
Oh, no.
But he's barking like crazy right now because it's past his dinner time. But I always tell people to check out Astronomy Club on Netflix, which is a fun sketch show that got canceled too soon. And I don't think it got enough publicity. So
I had the John Girard and James on High and Mighty last month. And I said this about their show then, and I want to say it now every time it comes up. Great sketches. A lot of shows pull off good sketches. Not a lot of shows pull off the wraparounds well. And I thought Astronomy Club had wraparounds that were value added, were different than the rest of the show, and helped you learn more about the cast.
Yeah,
and it was
yeah.
just like a fucking lesson in designing a sketch show.
That's
it was
such a good point. Yeah. And you had one of the best lines of the show for our guest star, which was, this is the most racist thing I've ever seen, and I went to Duke. Forgot about that.
It was so fun. Always down to play an open racist. Especially if it's a show written by black people, because then at least I feel like I'm being blessed into doing it. Where it's like, I'm on 30 Rock being racist and there's one black writer and one black cast member. I feel a little weird.
I mean, I'll do it, but.
Yeah, I mean, fuck yeah. Thank you, Tina.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on your show. It's always a nice thing.
Of course, Nang. I miss you. I wish we could hang out in Minions costumes and eat vegan hot dogs together someday soon, hopefully.
Soon.
I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys, if you like to hear 3 40-year-old men talk about movies for longer than their runtimes. I'm assuming you don't. That's fair. Most people don't. But
I just watched Murder at 1600.
Oh shit! I love that one. Those movies are so fun to rewatch now and just picture Trump as the like all of those movies. We talk about this all the time on Action Boys because like. For a while before Obama, the crazy thing movies would do would put like a black president, like 24 did it and be like, wow, that's bold. But now that Donald Trump has been president, there's not even like a gimmick or a gag you could put in him. And now it's like, imagine Air Force One remake coming out now with what we know about our most recent president. That's like insane game. Murder at 1600. I don't know. Check the secretary's office, huh? You know, it's like, what the fuck?
Oh my God, Air Force One is one of my favorites of all time.
That movie.
Okay, so check out Action Boys, everyone.
Yes, thank you. Oh yeah, let's get you out of here. Let's get Philby fed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nangle, and bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now.
somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!